Okay, everybody, so welcome back from a Ben Azmanim that was started off, I think, beautifully, and then it ended off quite horrifically. I don't think any of us are going to be the same for a very long time. I don't know if Klal Yisrael is ever going to be the same, but it's important to get together in an environment just like this and see what our Chazal say about incidents like these, and what our Gedolei Yisrael say, and hopefully we might not ever get answers to the many questions that plague us, but at least we might have a little glimpse of clarity here and there that might be able to give us chizuk that we so desperately need in these days. So there's a pasuk in this week's parasha, Bereishis. Bereishis is my favorite parasha, besides for the fact that it was my bar mitzvah parasha. It's not my actual mitzvah. My actual mitzvah parasha was Balak, but all my friends were in camp in the summer, so we made a bar mitzvah parasha Bereishis, which I leaned. But besides for that, Bereishis always to me is it's the beginning of a new opportunity. And if last year or the last cycle of Torah was less than stellar, was not exactly what it could have been perhaps, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to start all over again and start fresh with a brand new creation, a brand new world. And we're all a part of that renewal. And so we can gear up for Bereishis and make it a great year, Mitzvah Hashem. It's important to just note, once I'm on the topic of Bereishis and starting off the year right, there's a mitzvah it's a mitzvah, it's a halacha. If you want to look it up, it's in Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simen Resh Pei Hei, and it's a mitzvah that I don't want to ask for a raise of hands, but because I don't want to Chas v'Shalom embarrass anyone, but I would venture to say that many people do not do this halacha, and that's the halacha of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, that every week we're supposed to lein the parasha twice, not just lein it like, you know, without thinking about it, but understanding the parasha and then doing the Targum once. You know, if for whatever reason you're not able to do the Targum, so you could read it in English, you could do Rashi with it, but that's basically it's a halacha in the same size font as putting on tzitzis and saying Birchas Hashachar and Kriya Shema. It's quite an important mitzvah, and you know, if I would tell you this in the middle of Vayikra, you would say, okay, I'll wait till Bereishis, and then remind me of Bereishis. So I'm reminding you by Bereishis. It's a nice thing to do. It's not so time consuming, and you know, you make a seder maybe in the morning or before you go to sleep at night, or when you're on the train, on the bus, whenever, you always, on an airplane, you always have time. It's not very taxing. It's not like you have to schlep something. You take a little chumash in your pocket, one of the small soft cover chumashim, and you do maver, you be maver sedra. It's a very, it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, let's see what the pasuk in this week's parasha says. Vayara likim. At the culmination of the Sheshes Mebreshes, the 6 days of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu surveys all of the all that he's created, the entire experiment of the 6 days of creation, and he says it's good. He says, Vine Taiv Maid, it's actually very good. And there's a fascinating medrash in Yalkut Shemaini that says v'hinei tayv, when it dissects these words in the puzzle, when it says v'hinei tayv ma'id, when it says the first two words of that three-word verse, v'hinei tayv zumidas ha'tayv, that is tayv. When things are good for you, that's tayv, that's good, v'hinei tayv. Ma'id, when the pasuk says it's very good, zumidas yisurin, this is a reference to when Klal Yisrael, either individually or nationally, have to go through agony and pain and tension. Shal yada habriya isban l'chayelam haba. Why is Yisurin Taiv Ma'id? Why is it so very good? Because through punishment, through suffering, through challenges, people gain entry into Olam Haba somehow. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, v'derech chayim, what's the way to life, meaning what's the way to get into paradise, to get into Olam Haba? Teichachais Musar, that's when you get Musar, when you get reprimanded. Reprimanding Musar doesn't always mean, you know, just that your Rebbe scolds you, or your parents give you Musar, or an older Bacher maybe gives you Musar. Teichachais Musar, sometimes the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us Musar. Sometimes the Rebbeinu Shalom sends us some punishment, sends us things that hurt, and that sting, and that really cause us a lot of pain. But through that pain, we're able to get a ticket to Olam Haba. And we're going to explain that a little bit tonight. Taiv ukol hatav ba'olam. When it says taiv, that's all the good stuff in the world. That's the good stuff. That's the gravy of life. That's when things are going well. Basically, like, I think a few days ago, like Chol HaMoed, maybe you went on some nice trips, you went to the park, you went to a zoo. That's taiv. Ma'ayd, ma'ayd is what happened on Simchas Torah. Who have sharish yekev ba'olam. That's when there is pain that suddenly grips the world. Ha'ma'ayd shel ha'tayv yachal yisrak derech yisurim. That ma'ayd, not just tayv, but tayv ma'ayd, is when bad things happen in the world. That is a transformative experience that if we react to it right, if we take the right lessons from it and we change ourselves, so then it's tayv ma'ayd. There's nothing greater in life than that. Let's see what Rav Pinkus has to say about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanik umanik lanu matanos rabbis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, bestows upon us great gifts. Ukishin espaynein nigla ki achas hayofe shebehen. One of the nicest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, hatefeses makam merkazi b'chaya adam, that takes center stage in a person's life, and I gas l'chalechad v'chamitan, and it touches every one of us, hi ha'yisurim, ha'nisyaynes v'akashim shon niskalim b'hem al tzad v'shal b'malachachayim. Everybody has nisyaynes in life. It's very rare, if ever, that you find people that are able to just tiptoe through life and they don't have any problems. Oftentimes, the people that I always thought in life had no problems were the ones that had the most problems. It's an interesting thing. You know, you think certain, you can look around the room, you look around the Beis Medrash, and you see, you know, that guy, wow, he looks like, you know, he dresses very well, very good looking, you know, he seems to be very popular, he has everything going for him. And then, you know, you dig a little deeper and you find out that he has terrible things going on in his life. Everybody is touched by Yisurim, by challenges of one form or another. Some people have sickness that, Le'olenu, we should never know from, and you would never know it. I mean, some people, they hide it very well. They have certain things that only they and their doctors know. Some people have psychological issues, social issues, financial issues, family issues, relationship issues, a million different issues that we could all have, and we all do have. Now, those are things that we wish that we could get rid of, but Rav Pinkus calls these things the greatest gifts that a man could have. Because through those types of challenges, those challenges make us grow and make us change for the better. If everything is just perfect for us our whole life and we're just automatically given gifts that make us never have to worry and never have to stress about anything. We have money and we have looks and we have health and we have happiness and we have friendships and we have family. Everything is perfect, then that's not a great life. It's an easy life, but it's not necessarily a life worth living. I once saw, I think the Chasam Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, brings it in one of his Sfarim. I think I saw it once in Reb Melech Biderman's, one of his Kontresim, one of his booklets. I think it's from the Chasam Sefer. He says that there was a person that was living near his town, and he committed suicide. And this person was a person, the last person in the world that you would think would commit suicide. The guy had palaces, he had swimming pools, he had servants, he had mansions, he was a billionaire in those, and you know, using today's dollars. He had a beautiful wife, beautiful family, beautiful children. Everything was perfect. And then he goes and takes his own life. And he left a suicide note. And the suicide note says on it that you might be wondering why I took my own life. After all, I have such a perfect life. And he says, that's exactly why I took my own life. My life was so perfect that it wasn't worth living. I had no challenge. Everything was just a given. Everything was just perfect. And I didn't have to struggle for anything. I didn't have to succeed in anything. I have triumphed in everything I needed to. And now I was just set forever. It was boring. It wasn't a life worth living. The challenges that we have, even though when we're living through them, they're terrible sometimes. And they keep us up at night. And they cause us a lot of stress and anxiety. But if we're able to use them in a way that we could change ourselves for the better, that is growth. That's when a person achieves personal growth, and personal growth equals success in life. I saw recently a quote from Reb Zachariah Wallerstein, Zechana Levracha, says that a lot of times we feel so low, we feel that life got us down so much that we feel like we're buried. We're buried in the ground. He says, it's not true. You're not buried. You're planted. You're planted. You're just posed for you're poised for growth. Growth is about to start spurting. But it takes yisurim. It takes struggle, and it takes a lot of anxiety sometimes to build character. But those are exactly the moments in life that we are able to have that growth spurt that we need, spiritually and emotionally and humanity-wise. Im haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu rak mashpia aleinu chesed leherif, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just keep on showering down one chesed and another chesed. We wanted to get into that graduate program. We got in. We wanted to marry that girl. We got married to that girl. We wanted that house. We got that house. We got that car. You check every single box that you ever wanted without any, nothing ever was a problem. Manik lana mituva mechasta like a volumida. If that would happen, alula mayinu chalila lagia lamatzav shal v'yishman yishrim v'yuv. That's not what we want. Because then we would get so arrogant. And so, v'yishman yishrim v'yuv is a pasuk that means that yishurin, klal yisrael, v'yishman, they got fat, they got lazy, v'yuv, and they kicked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happens. When you don't have any challenges and everything is perfect, so then you don't even look at God anymore as somebody that, you know, I don't need God. I'm richer than God. Nitok me'ar ben shemcha. So I push away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chas v'shalom. Nimtza ki adavar yachid shemekashra yisana eilo b'sparach, eilo akashim ha'yisurim. The people that are the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are those people that have terrible, terrible issues in their lives. Because through those issues, they open up a siddur once in a while, and they daven, and they cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they form a beautiful, close, and tight relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't have those struggles, then, and everything is easy, I always have money to pay all my bills, and I always have everything that I want, and I'm a perfect specimen of humanity, so then I have nothing to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. And if I have nothing to ask him for, I don't daven. I don't have a relationship with him. And I don't need him. Or at least I feel I don't. Yeah.
So what if one's in a situation where they see their life is going great and they're like thinking maybe this is not a good thing, and I should, you know, you don't want to have struggles in your life. At the same time, if you don't, you're going to have like not a great life.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a, you know, when that happens, we'll discuss it. I don't know if any, I think everybody, you know, as far as I know, as many, you know, there are very few people in life that have that challenge. Most people, you know, have the other type of challenges. And there was a... I once met a person who was very... He made a lot of money, became very wealthy. And and he moved to Manhattan. And he bought a beautiful apartment, like a condominium, on a place called Sutton Place. If anyone knows where that is. It's on a, it's like a very spitz part of the east side of Manhattan. It overlooks the East River. And it's like a few blocks. And it's very... It's only, you have to be like a multimillionaire to live there. So I said, oh, it's so nice. You moved there, a sudden place, very spitz. Where do you daven? Is there a shul in the neighborhood? So he says, if you live in Sutton Place, you don't need to daven anymore. You're good. You're done. And he meant it. And that's exactly what Pinchas is saying. If you have everything going for you, you know, you daven, you want to win the lotto, right? $1.7 billion. I bought one. I don't know if I won or not, I didn't check, but you know, you obviously, everybody has dreams. You want to build and you want to have and you don't want to worry. And very often, that's the biggest curse. I mean, I'll admit that I buy a ticket whenever it gets this high just because, like my father, Lev Shalom, used to tell me, like, you know, give the Eibishter a chance to make you rich. Like, I'm giving him a chance. If he wants me to be rich, here's his opportunity to make me rich. But do you really want that? Is that really going to make you closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Well, in theory, yes. You know, in theory, I'm going to build the world's biggest yeshiva, and I'm going to give tons of money to tzedakah, and I'm going to, you know, send Teretz Yisrael, the Chayalim. I'm going to do everything perfect, right? When you actually get that money, then it's very ugly. It's very, very ugly. If you ever follow the stories of the people that actually won the lottery, it's not pretty at all. I think, like, I don't know, I'd say in the high 90 percentile, maybe 100% of the people that win these big lotteries, they end up getting divorced, doing drugs, losing all their friends because they're suspicious of everybody all of a sudden. They you know, their family falls apart, and very often they kill themselves. And they, I've heard people interviewed about this. They said, if only I could go back and rip up that lottery ticket. That was their wish. Why? Why? Isn't that a dream? Isn't that the American dream, to be a billionaire? It's not always such a good thing to have too much blessing. It's taiv. Taiv is good. It's good in moderation. But taiv ma'ayd, you want to know what a really good life is? It's when we have those yisurim. When you have those challenges and those things that haunt you and keep you up and make you worry and make you schwitz a little bit, and you know, somebody is sick in the family, Leolena, somebody has had an accident, somebody is going into the army and is fighting the front. Those are things that make us alive. We feel alive in those moments. We feel that I can't wait till 10 o'clock Ma'ariv so I can pour my heart out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. If everything is going good, I don't have to daven. Everything is fine. I'll daven, but I don't need to daven. It's a joke. But when you feel that you need to daven, that's taiv ma'ay. That's not just the regular good. That's amazingly good. This is a very new, it's a big chiddush, I think, for many of us, if not all of us in this room, including myself, what we're learning here tonight. This is a blockbuster that Pinchas is telling us, right? That who knew this, that a blessed life, like a great life, a life that's taiv ma'ayd, is one that has challenges. I thought a great life, if you ask a man in the street, what's a great life? You become a billionaire by age 30. You know, you start make a startup company and you go public. You cash out. You buy a house in Beverly Hills and you sit by a pool and you know, drink pina coladas and read the Wall Street Journal. That's a great life. What do you mean a life that's taiv ma'ayd is a life that has none of that? Where'd you get that one from, Bamberger? This is where Pinchas is teaching us. Pinchas is teaching us this yisayd, that the best type of life is the hardest type of life. Now, I'm not saying that we should daven for this, and maybe this will answer your question, Noam, a little bit, that we daven every morning that Leili de Akash Baruch Hu, don't bring us Leili de Nisayin. I don't want to be put into nisyanis. I don't want nisyanis of hardships, of sickness, of poverty. That's not what we don't actively seek that out. We want Obviously, we daven that we should have menuchas hanefesh so we could learn, we could daven. But when we are visited with yisurim and nisyanis in life, embrace it as best as you can. Because that's what we're going to grow from. Those are the seeds that we're going to be able to create a better version of ourselves. He brings a mashal, as he so often does, or Pinkus. Kasha raya av es b'nai chutza es hakvish u'mechainis dai heres l'krasai. A father is crossing the street with his son, and a car is speeding towards him, and he wants to save his son's life. U'meshud yada, he yanks at his son's hand. Teifes by b'chayzka, Moshe mechvish, and he pulls him back out of the street. Hari pashuk kilim reisha tfisazu garma leven ka'ev mesim. It's true. That yanking of the son's arm might hurt. It's going to hurt him. He said, what are you doing, Ta? But obviously, it's for the better good. Ainza begeder. That wasn't a punishment. El begeder atzal eschayim. I'm saving you. K'moikein taiv libei shala av klape b'nai bal lidei bitoi b'shashu maka yisei maka ketana kedei l'chanchai. What happens when I've had this, I'll admit, you know, sometimes you're walking with your child and all of a sudden the child runs into the street. Baruch Hashem, there was no cars. The Rabbeinu Shalom saves little children, protects little children, because if not, you know, but what do you do as a parent? You know what you're supposed to do? What all the books, even the books that are the most liberal, nicest books say to do? You give your child a really big patch. Because that's the only deterrent that he'll remember, hopefully, or she'll remember. Next time she's even dreaming about running into the street, she's not going to do it so fast. Or he's not going to do it because, you know, he remembers that patch. What you're doing, that's real love. More than when you give your kid a candy, this is love when you give your kid that patch. Sukariya yachalas says gam adam zar. A stranger can give a candy to a child. Doesn't mean that you love your child because you give a candy. Anyone give a child a candy. Aval maka b'smitech daiga kina l'chinuch haben nitenes ach v'rak ha'ideyava. I have only a father, a loving father, can give a real patch to a mechanech his child. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with us. When we get patches in life, we get down and things don't seem to be going our way. That's Hashem giving us a little patch because we're not doing something right. He's trying to make sure that we get back on the right path, on the right course. And k'shiyesh lanu bayis b'chaim, when we have problems in life, kol sugei habayis einenu margishim es hatayshim, we don't feel the good. Einenu margishim shehashem yisparachu zeh shenayisim lanu maka ketana. We don't see it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a little patch. Like a doctor that is giving a surgery. The Gra is famous for many lines. This is one of them. He says, if not for Yisurim, if not for the torment that we go through life in life, the agony, we would not be able to find our hands and our legs in Olam Haba, meaning we would never get into Olam Haba unless it was for Yisurim. The Stipler and many others used to say, Chaviven Yisurim, that you should cherish Yisurim. He wrote letters to people in the hospital. So obviously we want you to have a Refuah Shleima and get out as speedily as possible. But if you're going through these troubles, these pains, these terrible tortures, you have two ways of dealing with it. Either you could get mad at Hashem and say, why'd you do this to me? You hate me, and you let everyone else is like, you know, coming in and out, being mevaker chaylo with tuxedos. They're about to go to a chasna or something, and they stop off on the way in the hospital, and they get to have a great life. And look at me, I'm stuck in a hospital bed. What'd you do to me? That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for this. I treasure this. I know that I'm gonna get more Olam Haba because of this. I'm gonna change because of it. I'm gonna be a better person. Anu kai shekuim bechatayim kol rega shel bitul tarek kol diba shel lashon hara lulei ayisur mayinu oizim es la'ilam im ein sipur chatayim. If not for the pains that we suffer in this world, and by the way, the pains could even be very subtle. The Gemara in Erchin says examples of like pain that you would never think is a pain. Anyone know what the Gemara says as an example of pain? Doesn't mean that you got even a paper cut. That might be even an extreme. The Gemara says if you put your hand in, let's say you want to feed the meter, you want to find a quarter. So you're fishing around in your pocket and you think it's a quarter and you pull out, it's a nickel. And you got to put your hand back in your pocket and get it, try it again. That little bit of discomfort, displeasure, is itself also Yisurim. That's also going to save you from Olam Haba. If not for those pains that we go through in life that we're so upset about, we're so angry about, I missed the bus, I missed the train, I missed the plane, I missed the, you know, I didn't get into this program, I didn't get into that camp, I didn't get into that school and that yeshiva, that, and we're so upset about it, those Yisurim that we go through are what makes us able to have some way of shaving off the many Averis that we have that are going to stop us from getting into Olam Haba. Misaprim al Yehudi shebalavakish bracha merabbi misatmer. Famous story. A Yid comes before the Satmar Rav. Amalei Rebbe, mi ani she'etin l'cha bracha? Who am I? I should give you a bracha? Tzeler achav, go out to the street. The timsa call Yehudi she'esh le misper al yaday. And find a Jew with a number tattooed on his arm from the camps. Hu yachalas l'chaber, he can give you bracha. Why? What's so great about a concentration camp survivor? He went through tremendous yisurim. No one went through as many yisurim as somebody that went through the concentration camps. So he's going to be able to be a great enough person to give a bracha that even the great Satmar Rav couldn't. Yisurim zu hagdolos shemenake es ha'adam. La'olam le'neda kam yafim ha'yisurim. We can't evaluate Yisurim. We could maybe get a little spark of understanding from what we've learned together this evening. If a person could think back in his life to those points in time that seemed the darkest, Nigla ki pa'amim rabbis dafka bahem haisa tamuna leidas hagadlus. That's where my greatness began to sprout from. Vazma mela noven ki aidcha Hashem ki anaftabi. Very often you hear about people, either they write or maybe you've seen interviews, people that went through terrible things. Maybe they battled cancer and they came very close to death, and they, looking back in retrospect, they'll say, and very many of them do, that obviously, you know, I went through a lot, it was very difficult, but if I would do it all over again, and you would, I could go back a day before I got that terrible diagnosis, knowing now what I know now, I would do it all over again. I would take the diagnosis and live through all the pain and the chemo and the treatments, and the, I would do it all over again because I got so close to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I steiged, I'm a much better person now. I appreciate life. Before that happened to me, I didn't appreciate life. I was just marching through life and I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't stopping to smell the roses and to appreciate the birds, and now I can because I know that every day is a gift. That's the beauty of Yisurim. That's Toiv Ma'aid Eloi Yisurim. And just, you know, it's too soon, it's too close to really talk about what happened on Simchas Torah this year, but, you know, just to take one thing away from it, the Yisurim that happened on that Simchas Torah, the Yisurim that we're hearing about, you know, they're just beginning to unfold all of the gruesome events that in these moshavs, and these kibbutzim, at that concert, at you know, all across the South, and you know the pain and what they're going through, the hostages that are, we can't imagine what they're going through. You know, there's no words to describe like what happened. I don't even know what to say. I don't want to talk about it. I think it's better just to let it be. And like everyone has to process it. But we're going through Yisurim also from this. Obviously, it's a tipa shebayam. It's a drop in the ocean compared to what the people in Eretz Yisrael that lived through it and their neighbors and their families and their friends. Obviously, we can't compare ourselves to that, but just internalizing what we have over the last few days. I don't think anyone's been there. I don't see too many people walking around smiling and smirking and screaming and enjoying life. I think we all feel a cumulative blow to the, you know, to our neshama. And that Yisurim, those Yisurim that we're going through are also catalysts for our own personal growth. And we have to do tshuva. We have to just introspect, figure out what we have been doing wrong, perhaps, that could have created such a global reality today. And each one of us perhaps knows what we need to change, and we have to start working on that. We have to daven much better. We have to say tilim more. We have to learn better with more asmada. And we'll grow from this. And if we do grow from this, then it won't be in vain. It won't be like, what a terrible crisis, a tragedy that no good came out of it. If no good comes out of it, then all those people, Rahman al-Islam, may have died in vain. They get Eilam Haba. They died al Kedushas Hashem. But there has to be a groundswell of reaction from us that will propel us to greatness. We're not speaking about in Eretz Yisrael. We're speaking about us here in this room and what we should all take from it. The Yisurim that we're feeling, that like depression almost. I can't breathe. Like, it's not shayach to, like, every time I wake up in the middle of the night, I thought that was a nightmare. It didn't happen. It did happen. It's worse than what we could even imagine. You can't even, if I were to write a story, a hypothetical, I would never be able to imagine that this could ever happen in Eretz Yisrael. I don't think anyone in this room could. I don't think anyone in the world could. But it happened. Why did it happen? That we don't know. But that's not important. What is important is how we respond to such a thing. And you see Klal Yisrael is responding in amazing ways. There's Atzeres Tefilos, like, by the thousands. We had the other night in Young Israel of Queens Valley, or my Marcus Ashul. There was a Kinnis Tefillah, a few Rabbanim spoke, and then it was Tillim. There were thousands of Yidden. I think the entire Queens was there. The upstairs, it's a big shul, the upstairs was full. The basement of the shul was full, and the streets were full with loudspeakers. And this in Lakewood, I think last night, there were 10,000 people gathered in many Bate Midrashas. So the tefillah is getting stronger. The chesed, if you go like outside of Seasons, I heard there's like they're filling up duffel bags. People go into Seasons, buy groceries, buy goods, and they put it for the chayalim or whatever and send it. It's all going to Eretz Yisrael. Chesed is unbelievable. The Torah is unbelievable, the amount of Torah that we started personally this man a day early, and many, many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they canceled Ben Azmanim, also tremendous. But the Yisurim that we're going through, if we're able to really change from it, be more serious people, be more serious Bnei Torah, more responsible for other people, caring about another Yid, crying while we look at these terrible images, being nice about them, chaverik, relating to them as if they're our brothers because they are. These are ways that we ourselves can grow, and we ourselves will be able to be zeicha mitz Hashem to Eilam Haba and Eilam Haza, because Yisurim are indeed taiv ma'ay. There's no greater gift if we use it properly than these types of days, these experiences that we have that are not something that we daven for. We don't hope for this. We don't pray for this. But when it happens, and when it's served up to us, we have to respond in the way that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to.